I feel them. Y'all ready? Well, come on.
Yes, we are. We're always ready every Thursday for our boy, Edward Earl. And it's a big week in the NFL. Week 14. We are inching near the end of the regular season. The playoffs right around the corner, Coco.
You speaking about playoffs? And I want to ask Edward this question because this is really ticking me off. Why has the NFL not prioritized people who play fantasy football? And why has the NFL schedule makers put six teams on a bye week?
It's preposterous.
On the last week of the regular season.
Ed? What's going on with the NFL?
Playoffs? We're talking playoffs?
Fantasy playoffs.
Yes. Why 6 weeks
playoffs?
On bye weeks?
Don't talk about it. Playoffs?
How did you have that ready?
Playoffs?
20 fingers. Jeez, this guy's amazing.
I cannot possibly be expected to give a reasonable answer that's going to satisfy anyone.
It's just a bad idea. I think that's like, the answer. It's just a bad idea.
You know what? They're having an NFL owners meeting here next week in Dallas on Wednesday. I'll get the answer to that from the highest officials in the
Let you know. There's a lot of pissed off people that play fantasy.
Yeah, I
can't play Christian Watson this
week. I'm actually thrilled because I'm going up against a bunch of studs.
Play Christian Watson or Jonathan Taylor this week because they're on bye.
Fantastic. don't even broach the subject, Ed, because I think it should stay the way it is. Cool.
Did you not know this when you drafted?
That's a good point.
No, there's never bye weeks on the last week of the regular season.
I don't know. Apparently this year there is. So, Ed, you've been doing a ton of reporting this week about Odell Beckham Jr.
Probably
too much because
the Twitter followers have skyrocketed.
It doesn't sound like OBJ is going to play this year. That's at least the read from your reporting in the Dallas Cowboys. What can you tell us about the latest with regards to OBJ and the likelihood we see him on an NFL field this season?
Well, he visited with the Giants and the Bills last week. Then he came to Dallas. We really hadn't gotten much insight as to his physical well-being and projections for when he would play again until he got to Dallas. Now that he's been here, it's very apparent. Micah Parsons even shared yesterday that Odell Beckham Jr. told him that it's going to be at least 5 weeks before he's ready to play. And that means that right around the time the Cowboys and the Giants, if they make it, the Bills might get a bye. But right around the time the playoffs start is when Odell Beckham Jr.'s left ACL would be healthy enough for him to play. Well, I know going into this that these teams, because I've talked to several of them, had expected that he'll play the final three or four regular season games and then be ready to really make a big contribution in the playoffs. Now, he's got an offense to learn with whoever he signs with in addition to the physical component that's in question. The thing that surprises me a little here is the Cowboys apparently still interested. Now, maybe it's a different deal, you know, financially, but the fact that Jerry Jones was very specific all along in this and saying, I have to get a major contribution out of him this year. I'm doing this primarily for this year. I'll give him more than 1 year on the contract, but I have to get this year. And now it seems like there's some question about whether you're going to get anything at all out of him this year, given that he wouldn't be back for, you know, be healthy enough to play for 5 weeks.
Well, would this year, you know, factor in the fact that he maybe envisions the Cowboys going on a deep playoff run? And if this year's contribution is in playoffs, maybe that's a win for the signing of him?
But is it reasonable to expect that when he's not going to be healthy enough to play at all in the regular season?
Yeah, and seems unlikely.
I mean, that's, to me, that kind of diminishes what you should be expecting from him in the postseason if he's not going to be able to play at all, you know, in the regular season. Now, he had a big impact on the Rams last year, and I guess that's one reason to believe that it could all still work out. But, you know, I mean, the Cowboys are, they're 9-3. They're about to win, you know, double-digit winning season for the first time in more than 25 years, quite an accomplishment for Mike McCarthy. They're averaging 37 points a game since Dak Prescott came back. Could they still use another wide receiver? Yeah, I think this is still the front office trying to make up to Dak Prescott for letting Amari Cooper go for next to nothing in the offseason.
Ed, we know that Odell Beckham Jr., it's up in the air. Will he play? Will he not play? Remains to be seen. And I can tell you for certain that Von Miller will not play this season again for the Buffalo Bills. Sorry to bring this up, Carlo. He has an ACL. It was
revealed after some exploratory surgery done yesterday. They found his ACL was not, I guess, healthy, and they had to repair it. So he's done for the year. How much of a hit do you think that is for Buffalo and their chances in the AFC, Ed?
Yeah, so this is the second straight year that the Bills lost a premier defensive player in their Thanksgiving Day game. Tre'Davious White tore his ACL last year. Now it's Von Miller who, you know, leads them in sacks. And the whole reason, you know, Buffalo and Brandon Bean, the general manager, Sean McDermott, signed Von Miller was because of the playoff experience last year and losing in Kansas City. And they viewed, you know, Miller as a guy that could help them close out games with a pass rush once they get a lead. So to lose him is really significant. As we talked about last week, you know, Greg Rousseau is second on the Bills in pressures, and the gap between the 38 pressures that Von Miller created and the number that Greg Rousseau had as the number two player on the Bills in that regard was the biggest gap in the entire league. They were able to make up for it and pressure Mac Jones on Thanksgiving Day without Von Miller. And I think they'll probably make it through the Jets game without that being a big factor, because the Jets, I think, have, you know, they're playing Chris White at quarterback. I think they've played three left tackles and three right tackles. So they're vulnerable to almost anyone. You don't need an elite pass rusher to create pressure in that situation this weekend, but it's going to affect this team's Super Bowl aspirations once they get to the postseason, in my opinion. Can they beat Kansas City without a great pass rusher?
They have to play at home. It makes it, you know, the even more of an emphasis for the Bills to get the higher seed over Kansas City.
And one of the primary reasons to bring in Von Miller, I mean, there's many reasons to bring him in, but it's to chase down Mahomes and Joe Burrow in the AFC.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have him, they still have some quality pass rushers.
Thanks for reminding me, AK.
Yeah, I've kind of been careful to bring this story up today, Ed. As you can imagine, Carla a little bit sour about this news. A team that has no aspirations to win.
Here's another memo that maybe Ed can work on.
Word on, yeah.
No more Buffalo Bills on Thanksgiving Day. Because clearly, as much as it's been fun to watch them, it hasn't worked out.
At least they won. So the Rams, Ed, they claim Baker Mayfield on waivers earlier this week. Sean McVay talking about how he is potentially going to be active tonight on Thursday Night Football. The Rams host the Raiders. Do you think it's possible we see Baker Mayfield starting for the Rams tonight?
It sounds like that would be unexpected to me. It depends, I think, on John Wolford's condition. He hurt his neck and has had some, you know, injury issues recently. But, you know, Sean McVay talked about this would be unprecedented. I mean, the guy's been in their building for less than 48 hours, and you're going to play him already. He seemed to think that Baker Mayfield was, you know, capable of that mentally. You know, the Rams don't have a lot to lose, but I don't think you want to put Baker Mayfield in a bad situation. I am interested to see how he does over the end of, you know, the final month of the season with a quarterback coach like Sean McVay. Now it's a, you know, diminished roster that he's obviously participating with, but he's had so many offensive coordinators, so many different systems. I don't think that he's had a real fair chance to show us what he's capable of doing since he left Cleveland. And it's going to be an interesting situation, but I don't think he'll start. Apparently he will be active and could play, which would be a fascinating situation.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to start the game.
Well, it's a massive one for the Raiders. The Rams are done, but the Raiders basically need to win out or close to it in order to make the playoffs. They've been playing a lot better too,
well. Because they're using Devontae Adams.
Yeah, that helps.
Like, come on.
Devontae Adams has 664 receiving yards in the last five games. That's the most in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's had, 500-yard receiving games, about to break the Raiders franchise record, which is 7. You know, I think his presence has created a lot of opportunities for Josh Jacobs, who's rushed for nearly 500 yards in the last 3 weeks. That leads the NFL. So this is a team that's really rolling on offense right now. And, of course, the Rams won't have Aaron Donald among many other players tonight.
Yeah, should be a Vegas beatdown tonight. Ed, you mentioned earlier about the Dallas Cowboys regretting the decision to trade Amari Cooper. How about the regret in Tennessee to trade A.J. Brown, because clearly the GM, John Robinson, lost his job because of that move. It was less than a couple days of them playing against their former player. What do you make of that move for a GM who's had a lot of success team-wise with the Tennessee Titans? You know, 3 straight playoffs. They were the number one seed last year. They're going to win the division against this year. How surprised were you to see that move?
surprised to see John Robinson be jettisoned, fired. Even more surprised by the timing of the whole thing. And you do have to suspect that, at least symbolically, losing to the Eagles by 25 points and A.J. Brown dominating the game to the extent that he did with 100 yards, two touchdowns against the Titans 2 days before John Robinson's fired. I mean, everybody remembers Mike Vrabel, the head coach's reaction in the draft room when Robinson completed the trade, sending A.J. Brown to Philadelphia. Vrabel got up out of his chair. He'd been sitting next to Robinson and just walked away in disgust and then came back and participated in the draft. But he's made it known that he's very unhappy about not having A.J. Brown. I mean, you know, they had a big physical team. They had Julio Jones. They had A.J. Brown. They have, you know, Derrick Henry, a big back. Ryan Tannehill needs all the help he can get. No, I think it's frustrating for Mike Vrabel. We all respect the fact that they seem to overachieve every year. Well, at some point, you know, you don't want to be overachieving. You want to just have a great team with full of great personnel. And they don't have that. You know, some of his drafts have been questionable. I think they just made 8 first-round picks, and only 2 of them are still with the team. And so far, none of them have gotten a second contract, although that should change with Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackle. But really, there was obviously, you know, if not a power struggle, you know, a clash of philosophies at play here between Mike Vrabel and John Robinson. Although Vrabel went out of his way yesterday when he addressed it for the first time to make it clear that he was informed of the decision by ownership on John Robinson. It wasn't one that he was involved in making. The decision was made, and then he was informed of the decision. But I think it's been pretty clear that there's been a divide between the two, particularly on this specific issue of the A.J. Brown trade.
You want me to go next?
I do want to ask the Tom Brady question. Okay.
I got to ask you, with what you saw from Tom Brady Monday night and pulling off his heroics, leading the team with 3 minutes left in the game, down by 2 touchdowns, Bucks take control of the division again. Does that give you reason to believe in the Bucks down the stretch here come playoff time?
No.
Thank you. Great answer.
I think it was spot on. A game that the Saints lost through the game management incompetence at the end. You know, Mark Ingram running out of bounds, unchallenged, short of the sticks. It would have, you know, a first down would have won the game for them in all likelihood. So I think it was more a failure of the Saints than it was, you know, heroism by Tom Brady. I mean, he played great in the final 3 minutes, but what did he do before that? They can't really protect him. They don't ever commit to the running game. You know, I don't think they get a lot of run after the catch with their receivers. They're not a big play team like they've been in recent years. So I don't think anybody really fears them in the postseason, except for maybe the team right now that would play them in the first round. That's the Cowboys.
Yep.
The Cowboys have never beaten Tom Brady, but maybe this is the time.
No,
but
I bet not going to happen, Steve.
I bet they prefer to avoid it.
I call him Steve.
Yeah, who's Steve?
I don't know. I've been hearing a lot of Steve this morning. So
we have 2 Steves coming up on the show, Ed, in Carlo's defense. Steve Francis and Steve Phillips, so that might be why Carlo has Steve Werder on the
mind. I can't believe I called you Steve.
On the mind.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. You're
I've
the
been
man.
Far worse, believe
yeah,
me.
I find that hard to believe. Ed Werder, thank you for doing this, my friend. We'll chat with you next week.
You're the man, buddy.
All right, hey, you guys have a good day.
All too, right, pal. That's Ed Werder. I almost called him Steve as well because of you.
There's a lot of Steve.
I see Steve Phillips on the TV right there.
Too. I'm staring at Steve right now.
Yeah, there he is. There's Steve Horvat, Steve Diavero,
yeah.
Steve Koliakovo.
There it is.
It's a good handle, Steve.
You're such a Steve.